welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy, your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast in the entire universe, world of all time. You have your two favorite hosts. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and it is a beautiful night for a podcast, and we are living it up on top.
Living it up on top. I live my life on top.
You do, in all things. Do that.
I'd be on top all the time. You see how I did a real full open straight? Mm-hmm. Straight to the point, because Kelsey is unwell, both with sleep and what sounds like a little sniffles, a little bit of the sniffles.
Yeah, well, that's really just because I'm so tired.
The sniffles are going around, though.
Stopped to function. I'm also low-key concerned Wyatt has RSV again.
Oof.
I know, it's so unfortunate, but I feel like she does.
You know, it's a bummer how close that is to the RSV and the peeing, right? Like, there's a difference between an upper cardiac or an upper respiratory disease and just trying to let people know you're coming to the party. It's one letter away. Yeah,
it is so true.
If you are out there listening to this podcast in podcast land, or if you are sitting with someone that you know listening to this podcast and you're like, hey, these two people, one of them sounds very handsome and one of them sounds very beautiful, then you should give us a 5-star review. Everyone, give us a 5-star review. That helps the algorithms. We really appreciate the support. Share this podcast. Tell it to everyone. We have grown so much over the last few years, and we cannot continue to grow without your help. I actually also, every once in a while, I do this quick Google search to say, what's the best Grey's Anatomy podcast? And we are number one. So we are listed pretty consistently in that. So thank you all so much for that. Hit that review button, hit that 5-star button, hit that share button, hit that follow button, hit that download button, all the buttons. Because you know what? Tonight I'm going to be pushing Kelsey's buttons. Actually, not that much. I'm going to be very kind. We're going to talk about an episode. What do you say we jump right in?
I think that's a good idea. I do really quickly before we start want to say that I did see Toy Story 5.
Oh, so good.
It was so good. It was Buzz Lightyear's better than the fourth one. I did not think the fourth one was that good. Fourth one's probably my least favorite, but this one was right up top. I did cry, and I do not often cry at films or shows, but it was very good. Sniffles. Sorry, I'm just going to be sniffling directly into the microphone. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. That's
it's
okay.
Either that or I die, guys. Okay, so those are your choices.
Someone's a bit dramatic.
It couldn't be me. Okay. Let's talk about Grey's Anatomy.
Let's do it.
It's crazy. We've only been talking for like 5 seconds.
This is season 11, episode 20. So this is the finale. So if you're hearing this for the first time, you've missed quite a bit.
Carmen's doing a bit. He said he wasn't going to do any bits, and he's immediately doing a bit.
I never said I wouldn't do any bits. I said I wouldn't push your buttons. And if that's pushing your buttons, you have the lightest of buttons.
All of your bits are buttons. All of your bits are my buttons.
All of my bits are your buttons. Stop touching my buttons and my bits, Kelsey.
Get away from my buttons.
I was telling people
get your
about
bits
work.
Away from my buttons.
I was telling. We're both married to different people, folks.
So true.
Goodness.
Who were you telling something about?
At work, I was talking about our podcast, and I said, look, if you listen, you have to separate the fact that my humor on this podcast is about that of an elementary school boy. So
so don't try and fire you for
it. Pee-pees and dingleberries, am I right? All right, so Grey's Anatomy. Okay.
Grey's Anatomy, this is episode 2 of the 11th season. It is episode 222. Overall, which is wild. So that means that it has been 122 episodes since Alex and Izzy got married. And it has been 22 episodes since they had that party and that dancer like fell from the sky. This episode is called A Puzzle with a Missing Piece. And that is a song.
Yes. Like a puzzle with a missing piece. Missing. Puzzle. With a piece, puzzle with
are
a missing
okay?
piece missing.
I'm gonna. I only one of us can be falling apart, and I
puzzle,
have called dibs on it.
Puzzle with a piece missing is a song off of the album Like Drawing Blood by the Belgian Australian singer. It's either pronounced Gotya, like I gotcha, or Gautier or Gautier.
It's Gautier.
Gautier, like it's I'm growing a Gautier on my face.
Somebody that I used to know.
Really?
Yes.
Well, Gautier is somebody that I definitely don't know. So I don't
now
know how I missed
just
that.
Somebody that I used to know. Somebody.
Was that a song that we did on this podcast?
It is a song that we did. It was also like a very popular song.
That one I know.
In the world.
Yeah, that one I know. Anyways, it was released in Australia on May 21st, 2006. And the song itself did not chart anywhere, but the luckily for us, the album did medium charting. So it hit number 13 on the Australian charts, and it hit number 45 on the Belgian charts, which makes sense because Gautier is Belgian and Australian. So getting some hometown love.
Remember James Blunt?
No.
You're beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, by the way.
Remember that? That was crazy. What a time to be alive.
What's really a time to be alive? I don't know if you saw this on Instagram. I shared this today. 17 years ago on Facebook, I had a Facebook status. Mm-hmm. One word. Naked.
Yeah.
And my response on that was, bro, shut up for real. Yeah. To myself.
Yeah. And that's my response to you now. So I do relate.
What I need people to know is there is some self-awareness. It's just taken me 17 years to get there. I need 17 years worth of hindsight to get there.
Yeah. We're not getting there anytime soon.
Yeah. Well, one of my friends from work had seen that, and she doesn't work in my hospital, but she works at the headquarters, and she said, bruh, blank her name, on Facebook in 2009 is a complete stranger, lawless and unhinged, with zero context ever. And I'm like, yeah, I fucking feel that, dude.
Yeah. I was just like not doing a lot of Facebook status updates, and I love that about myself and the foresight to be like, this will be here forever.
Well, I can delete them now. I think I deleted it, but I screenshot it first. Mm. And sometimes the ones that I want to delete, I'm like, I should just save these. I'm not going to delete it. I'm going to let it live in infamy.
Just gonna, this is who you were. This is who everyone has been dealing with.
This is somebody that I used to know.
There you go. It's so true.
Somebody!
No, somebody!
All right. Can I give a little spoiler alert on this episode?
Yeah.
Well, no, you do the stats and stuff first.
Yeah,
we're unhinged.
This was written by William Harper and directed by Rob Korn. Aired October 2nd, 2014 to 9.44 million views. The Netflix synopsis for this one is, though having trouble adjusting to her new workplace, Maggie solves a thorny case and reveals a deeply personal secret to Meredith. That's pretty accurate.
Pretty accurate.
I'll give them credit for that one.
I'm not going to give my rating away for free until the end of next episode.
What?
But let me just say, I, spoiler alert, really like this episode.
Yeah.
I'll be ranking this one very highly.
Okay, since we're on that topic, this is an off-air conversation that we're going to have on air. Should we change the rating system to 10?
10 being the lowest or 10 being the middle point?
10 being the lowest and 78 being the highest.
Yeah, that scale I like.
No, but if we did 1 to 10.
On a scale of 10 more, to 78.
I'm just like, should we change? Like, Shonda's gone, right? It's not even a Shonda show anymore. I mean, it's a Shondaland show, but she's not there anymore. So I'm like, do we need a wider, like when it's Shonda, I'm like, it's going to be good. It's going to be like a 3 to 5, right? Like they're all going to be up high. Like I feel like I might need a wider lens of being able to say that these aren't as good.
That's fine with me. What I need people to know and to look back on this episode is that Fuck.
Yeah.
Is that this? I think we're going to have to go. I especially am going to have to go through a reference point now post Shonda. So there might be some scores like intestines in the hands mm-hmm. that I need to, you know, retroactively change.
I don't know if we really would like have that many that we feel very differently. You might feel differently. Well, we did rewatch the pilot.
I don't remember what I gave it on the rewatch. No, and I also don't remember what I gave it on the first time through. But I think I remember in the beginning, it was like, everything felt low. Everything was like.
You were stingy.
Twos. I think I might have given one. No. Did I ever give a one?
I don't think you ever gave anything. I think I'm the only one that's done less than a three. And it was for the intestines in the hand episode. One of the worst episodes. Yes.
I must have given
I'm
twos.
So confident. I don't think you ever did anything under a three.
Okay. I'm okay with going to a 10.
I think.
But as long as it's on a scale of 9 to 10 and it's 9.1, 9.2, 9.3.
Or we don't do that. Or we could just be normal for 5 seconds.
We could do a scale of 1. What's a food that's bad? I'm trying to think of a bad food. I really struggle with that.
I do love food.
On a scale of
sardines, which I know you love.
sardines is an 8 at least. That's on so a gross. Scale of moldy bread.
moldy
bread to cotton candy being a 10. Obviously.
Okay. Sure.
That could be our scale. And then everything in between could be very subjective. That's the problem. That's a problem, right? That we're running into. The numbers are more objective.
I don't know. I just feel like we need more options to be like,
10.
It's
scale
fine.
Of 1 to 10. Fine. Scale of 1 to 10.
Okay. We're doing it, you guys. It's different now.
This is a new podcast.
Bum, bum, bum. Plot twist.
All right. Yeah.
I agree this is a good episode. Some things I thrilled to say I was wrong about the McNeils. We did get a resolution. Couldn't remember it, but thrilled to be wrong and thrilled that did happen. Because that was really bothering me. And we did have some people after I was like, I don't think we ever get a resolution. Some people did message me and say, I think we do. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. We'll get there eventually. And we did. We're here. We've done it. So that was nice to see. Just give me your thoughts on Maggie at this point.
Positive. Very positive. Honestly, on trend to become my favorite character in the show, maybe.
Interesting.
It's a very early trend, but I think that if the knee-jerk need for this show and the writers is to fill a void for a beloved character like Christina with a positive kind of, I think she can walk the line very, very neutral between protagonists where you're rooting for her. And kind of like anti-hero if you're looking at this right now of like Meredith is your favorite character. You're a Meredith stan through and through. How dare this woman come out of nowhere and try to ruin Meredith's life? You know, maybe they're trying to walk
that
line.
She really is.
No,
the thing.
I don't.
Like,
I don't think that she is.
I mean, my thing is, I'm going to be honest. I'm not like. I believe we as the viewers are inclined to believe Maggie. Like we don't like she has no reason to lie. They're now setting up this like phone conversation with her parents where her parents know she's doing this. Like they're supportive. So everyone like she has done this. Like she looked into this. This is what she found. It's Ellis. So we are inclined to be like this is fact. We're taking it at face value. What she says she's Ellis's daughter as like factually correct. Yes. Is it jarring information to learn? Does it perfectly and easily align with everything we know so far? No. But we are inclined to believe it. Yeah. However, I think Meredith's reaction is, I guess, reasonable is the best word for it. Like, understandable that she would react that way. Like, if you, even if removing the fact that Ellis Gray is like this world-renowned surgeon, just at the face value of, like, someone shows up and is like, I'm your sibling, your mother was pregnant with me and gave me up for adoption at an age which you fully should and could remember. And so I feel like the reaction of, hey, what the fuck, is valid. Because I just like to just be like, okay, would kind of also be unrealistic and insane.
Yeah. I think part of my beef with that, overall, this topic with the familial piece, is could we have anyone in this show ever have some tact or situational awareness? No. Maybe. Ever.
No, I don't think so. Well, I will say, like, I do think Maggie did a slightly better job than Lexi, because at least there wasn't, like, actively someone dying when she did it. And she probably would have done it differently, like, oh, hey, let's get together for dinner, let's chat, let's go to coffee, whatever. But unfortunately, because they got off on the wrong foot, why would Meredith ever agree to, like, go to a meal with her?
Yeah.
So it's going to basically be an ambush or nothing at all.
Yeah. What I guess, when I'm thinking back to, was it last episode already was the carousel and Meredith was like, your mom, you just saved your mom's life. Mm-hmm. They really did make Meredith act coming out of those scenes as if she remembers something about Maggie. Like, there's something about her being there. There's some, every
there
time
was
they say
the trauma.
Boston.
There was a trauma. Yeah.
There was. Yeah. And, like, and everything. She's like, Boston, Boston, Boston. They're really harping on the Boston thing.
When Meredith was in therapy, they talked a lot about Ellis's suicide attempt and how Meredith called 911. And she does remember that. Like, that's confirmed. Like, Meredith does have that as memory, and they worked through that in the therapy. I'm gonna be honest, timeline wise, I don't super remember how that aligns with all of this, but I'm like, okay, it is established that she does have some memory of, like, very early childhood, and, like, these traumatic events. Now, I think it's fair, like, it's widely accepted that people, especially when you have, like, a traumatic event as a child, it becomes, like, a suppressed memory. So I think it would be super valid to be like, maybe you kind of, like, press that down, especially if your mom was, like, essentially, like, not acknowledging it or kind of, like, not telling you, or even maybe telling you to keep it a secret. Like, who's to say? But five, I mean, I think about when I was five. I do remember when my sister was born, and I was four when Emily was born. But that was, like, a major event. Other than that, like, I vaguely remember parts of kindergarten. I don't remember, like, vividly every day of kindergarten, which was would be five.
It really? Five? Yeah. Okay. I do remember parts of kindergarten. Like, I feel like I have a memory of, because they separated it into AM and PM into kindergarten. And I also feel like I had a memory of, like, my teacher, Mrs. Spain. And I remember, like, the bus rides. I remember, not every bus ride.
That's
but, like,
what I'm saying.
Things.
Like, I remember.
But, yeah, I have memories.
Like,
yeah.
I remember it was kindergarten. I could, like, describe vaguely what the room looked like what kind of play we did. Like, we had nap time, and we had the little nap mats. Like, I remember those things. They did take away nap time for kindergartners, and they should bring it back.
I did not have nap time as a kindergartner.
That's crazy.
But that's because they had it separated AM and PM.
Like, you only went half a day?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
That feels illegal.
I don't know. Public school,
dude. You're
supposed
to go to school. You're not supposed to go to some school.
I don't know what to tell you. I had Mrs. Spain.
That feels like pre-K.
No, it's kindergarten. It was in the elementary school.
yes, pre-K sometimes, like they have pre-K at Scarlett's Elementary School.
Not in mine. Kindergarten through sixth grade.
Crazy.
Yeah. Because I remember
sixth grade is middle school.
No, middle school here is seventh and eighth grade.
That we live in the same country.
I'm just telling you what
middle school is sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. High school is ninth, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade.
High school, we're on the same page here. But
so middle school is 2 years?
Yeah, seventh and eighth grade.
That's stupid.
I don't know what to tell you, dude.
I just fear that your city is doing it wrong.
No, we're doing it right.
Is it the whole state that's doing that?
Like, I think so. Happening? I think
where
yours,
is this mandated from?
The Versailles Treaty.
I don't think that's right. And you're not really backing up that your school's doing it right, if that's your answer.
Well, that was just that's just me being an ass.
Right.
I put the ass in Versailles.
I put the ass in class. Classroom.
I put the class in ass. You know what I mean? I put the class in Versailles. Anyways, yes, it was K through six.
Do you know the last time that we declared war on a country? Do you know the last time that a Congress declared war on
World
another
War
country?
II?
Yes, it was World War II, which is fucking stupid because all we do is get into wars.
We have a whole department.
These people and their goddamn loopholes are fucking pissing me off.
Yeah.
Also, make sure you're voting in your primaries because they matter.
Yeah.
And then vote when it's time to vote.
Yeah. And bring the sailors from the USS Abraham Lincoln home, please.
Good stuff.
And like, just stop killing kids. Can we stop the kid killing?
We're just like really not asking for much.
Goodness.
Like the bar is truly so low.
And we're going to bring it all the way back with Grace here because Ellis didn't kill her kid.
No, she did not. She gave her child up for adoption.
Which, you know, is interesting. I had this thought. They tried to paint Jackson as like this pro-choice, pro-science versus pro-life April thing. Uh-huh. And you would think Ellis, again, I don't know the timeline, probably would have just aborted this kid.
We also, I don't know timeline as far as like the year, what the availability of an abortion would have been.
That's a good point. I forget that times were different.
Yeah. Not that they're incredible now, but that might be. But also, that was kind of like Richard did say, like, oh, I knew her so well, and giving you up would have been like one of the hardest choices she ever made. And I'm like,
really?
That's hard. That's hard for me to reconcile simply because she didn't want Meredith. She didn't want kids. She didn't want to have Meredith. Like, she had Meredith essentially because it was like society was like, and now you have to have a kid, or Thatcher wanted to have her to have a kid. Like, whatever. She had Meredith. She didn't want Meredith. Like, it's established, discussed over and over and over again.
Unless the implication is that she didn't want a baby with Thatcher, but she did want a baby with Weber.
I mean, maybe, but that's still a lot for
that's
him to make
leap.
That declaration on her behalf. Now, that's not to say that,
from
like,
from the grave.
Even if you don't want the child or like to raise the child, I'm not saying it would still be super easy to like fully carry a baby and then give it up for adoption. Like, that still probably would be difficult just in like the base level of like what that means that you've gone through. But me, that statement, I was just like, listen, I understand like sentiment wise the concept of like being reassuring and like, you know, kind of painting her this picture. But if this girl has like uprooted her life to move across the country to find out who her mother is it really doing her anything good to lie and be like, your mother was a wonderful person? Like, was she?
She was definitely a Harper Avery Award winner. What? I know. I love it. That's so awesome. I am going to get some cards mailed out to her soon.
Don't worry about it. She's vibing. She does ask me for a pack of Pokemon cards all the time. And I'm like, dude, like brushing your teeth does not get you a pack of Pokemon cards.
Speaking of Pokemon cards, I want to say this to everyone out there listening. Over the next month, there will be cards coming out for Pokemon everywhere. Walmart, Target, Aldi, Kroger, Hy-Vee, Jewel, Shopko. I'm trying to think of all the fucking places.
Boot City.
Maybe.
We have them. They have them. They get them.
Okay. Costco. Sam's BJ's. Club. BJ's. If you see a pack of cards that has the 30th anniversary celebration stamp on it, buy them and then give them to me. Do not ask me if I want them. I want them. Buy them, then give them to me.
Are you going to reimburse people for this?
No, these are gifts of love.
Is it a gift if you have to demand people do it for you?
Yes.
I don't know that that's
Have
true.
You not been paying attention to our hero and icon, Donald Trump? I should be modeling all of our lives after him. That was sarcasm, obviously. But very important. 30th celebration, Pokemon cards. I need them for me.
Hard pivot. But the Tennessee, we are getting a new governor this year. Oh. That is what is on the ballot in November.
And this is
there
a good thing.
Are three front runners.
Okay.
And
okay.
All three front runners, the two party nominees and the main independent are all women, which is incredible.
Whoa!
Now,
nice!
I will say the woman who is the Republican is one of my least favorite people in politics. I really despise her. I think she is not ideal, is the nice way to put it. I could say a lot of mean things, but I'm not going to. But also, this is so irrelevant to anybody's qualifications. I actually just think this is crazy. All three of them have a color in their last name. It's Marsha Blackburn is the Republican nominee. Lauren Pinkston is the independent nominee. And Jerry Green is the Democratic nominee. And I just think that is so random. Like, what a coincidence. Anyway,
Didn't Mr. Green kill someone in the library with a candlestick?
No.
No.
But Clue is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Never seen it.
I know.
When you guys travel up to Chicago to meet Maddox, we can watch it as a family.
Yeah.
And I'll take Scarlett to the card shop.
Dear God.
With your credit card.
Okay. Anyways, so I just had to share that tidbit. Anyways, full circle. Everybody, please vote. Make sure you're registered to vote. Local elections are just as, if not more important than federal ones. They will regularly impact your day-to-day life and the way that your community operates. So that is where the change starts. And those people then go on to run the fucking country. Unless the people running the country came from a reality television show. So,
yeah. It's also worth noting that your local elected officials have a say in how easy it is to get Pokemon cards. So get them for me. 30th anniversary celebration for me. Capitalism, take a quick break. And we're going to keep this this Pokemon train rolling. Because this is not a Pokemon podcast. We'll be right back. And we are back. Thank you for those ads, Pokemon 30th
Wait,
celebration.
Did you see that someone got a veg ad?
Yes.
How
yes.
fun is that?
I feel like what I need to do is I need to reach out to our marketing department and say, hey, how about you just sponsor us?
Yeah. How about we just cut out the middleman?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So, okay. I do want to also say, as we're jumping in here, kind of some fun cases, some interesting things. Mm-hmm. I don't have any context to go off of, but the writers have been doing pretty well. First two episodes of the season.
Yeah.
The pacing of last episode was a little bit intense. This one, I felt like the pacing was done really, really well. And
I also felt like there was more payoff in this episode.
Definitely more payoff. Yes. I like that we had our first Pierce voiceover.
Yes.
Which was cool.
I like the dynamic between Maggie and Amelia so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, that energy, this was...
For being such different characters, I think that energy works together really, really well.
Yeah, big fan of the Amelia and Maggie dynamic. Big fan of the Maggie and Joe dynamic. Yeah. And also Bailey with some like zongers.
Bailey just doing whatever she wanted.
Loving it.
Bummer episode for Alex.
Yeah. Is it though? It sounds like he's getting on the board.
I mean, right now he's in limbo with no job.
Well.
Here's I'll say.
He'll get Cobra,
like,
at least.
He doesn't. This is really like the only thing that happens to Alex in this episode is he gets fired. I feel like the way the butthole doctor handled that was horrendous. Like, you're in the middle of a surgery. You're just going to shut off the music and yell at this person and tell him he's fired. And you're going to, like, end his career and tell everyone that he's disloyal and untrustworthy. Like, you couldn't say, like, oh, that's so... Like, how can we work that out? Also, a board's, like, being on the board of something does not automatically mean you can't... Like, a lot of people are on boards and they're not... That's not their full-time job. Like, they sit on the board almost as, like, a consultant type of role. Or they come in when they need to do, like, some kind of voting or something. That's not... They don't just do that 100% of the time.
What's funny about that scene overall is she said, like, hey, I hear congrats are in order. Like, you're on the board. And, like, Labacus is clearly asking the question because it's loud in there. Because everyone's just... partying and doing cocaine and just raging.
Yeah. It's a fucking mosh pit in that OR.
Seriously. And Alex is basically trying to really change it. And he goes, are you quitting my practice? And he goes, I gave you the keys to the premier imperforate anus practice in the nation.
Yeah.
That was such perfect delivery. It was such a funny scene. And Maggie's just like,
she's like, okay, so his heart looks great, so I'm going to head out. Just let me know if you need anything. Okay, bye.
This is kind of a trope, but I think that this was done very well in this episode, is TV shows typically make the very smart people put their own foot in their mouths a lot.
Yeah.
But this happens... 3 times this episode.
Yeah, Maggie's not having a great day.
No, pretty rough day. But the payoff on 2 of those 3 that I can remember off the top of my head are just, the other one that I remember. There's this one, there's the one with Bailey and Jackson and Hunt. And then there's the one with Derek. That one was less funny.
What?
Where he's like, you're doing the human brain NIH. Mapping.
Yeah.
Yeah. NIH.
Yeah.
So, very funny.
Yeah, she's having a rough day. Also, the singing fish that showed up to sing to her in
good.
The lobby of the hospital.
So good.
I also, I like how they kind of use the phone conversation she was having with her parents back home to like paint the picture of not only her relationship with them, but also just who she is and like her personality type, because she isn't mad about the fish. She's like, it was cheesy and silly and I loved it. Like, that's her type of humor, or her type of, like, that's just what she likes. And I think that like says a lot about her just personality without really having to do much, which I think is cool. So they're just using this. It's just an interesting way to tell us a lot about a character.
I think it was done very well.
Yeah.
I like, there were a couple times on the phone where she, she was talking to her mom at one point and then talking to her dad. And I think the first, let's see if I have the note here. The first is, oh, it's kind of like going through and it's talking about how she likes the puzzles and they're like, ah, oh, you've made friends. Oh yeah, of course I've made friends. And obviously she's lying. She hasn't made any friends. And she also in that monologue talks about how she beat the, or she did the New York Times crossword and her record was 11 minutes when she was 13 years old. Is the New York Times crossword puzzle hard? Like, I don't
notoriously it's very hard and it gets harder throughout the week. Like each day there's an increased difficulty, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, like it gets harder and harder as the week goes on.
Got it.
Very, yes, notoriously a very difficult crossword puzzle.
I don't know if it was the New York Times crossword puzzle recently, but I did see one that made me chuckle, and it was the Superior Sci-Fi Saga.
Yes, but Star Trek and Star Wars could both work.
Yes.
Yes, I saw that, and that was, I was like, honestly, that's just really, like, impressive crossword puzzle design.
There's puzzle masters behind the scenes working tirelessly.
Did you ever watch that episode of How I Met Your Mother? Where Ted's, like, obsessed with the New York Times, and then they get invited to, like, a party, and it's, like, a bunch of snooty people, and, like, one of the crossword puzzle, like, author, creator, whatever the title is, was there.
I've seen every episode of How I Met Your Mother, so I'm sure I have seen it.
Yeah. And the person hosting the party was Abby from Scandal.
Oh, I do not remember that.
Well, you hadn't watched Scandal yet, so.
You're right.
You wouldn't have known that that's who she was.
But clearly not memorable enough in that episode to where I went, hey, I recognize that person from somewhere.
Yeah. Well, she looks very different in that episode. They really make her look a very, just not Abby. Not a Scandal type role. Not a Shondaland role. But a sitcom role.
I like the sitcom roles.
Yeah. They're just very different.
So, yeah, I like the way that they're creating this, this conversation. I also like how they're giving us bits of information about her as they're going. At one point she says, I don't need a sister. I have I have an amazing family.
Yeah.
Or like, at least I don't need this sister. Something like that.
Yeah. She's like, I already have an amazing family. You guys are the best. And then she was like, but I'm not moving back. And I'm like, okay, but if you moved here for this purpose and then like, it's going really poorly, Would you not maybe consider moving back? Or would it really is it genuinely just like the most incredible opportunity that you would stay? Like, I actually just don't know. Because I'm like, if I moved across the country solely to like meet the sister of the, of like my sister and the daughter of my like birth mother, and then it was going that shitty and I didn't even want to tell her who I was, I'm like, what would be the point of staying? Because then not only are you not getting what you came for, you're also keeping a really crazy secret.
That is a crazy secret. I think ultimately she still would have a killer job.
Yeah, that's my, and I'm like, maybe that's really, but it, to me that's where I'm kind of like, because she's like, I'm not coming home. I'm like, but is there a reason that you would maybe consider it? Like, if you're, it's, she seems to be very close to her family. I don't know. It's, I don't have a problem with her staying. I just get confused. I'm like, what was the point? And Richard even's like, you came here for more than just this job. You came here for more than just to like see the hospital that your mother worked at. So I don't know. That's just for me. It's just a lingering question that I have. I don't want her to leave. I just think like maybe it would be something you would consider if it started to go so sideways from your expectation of how it was going to go.
Yeah, it is. It is funny. So they throw a couple digs to the whole situation. So like when Maggie's in that scene with Derek, and of course Derek invites her to sit down. And I knew it. I was like, oh, Derek's going to invite her to sit down. I actually thought when I was watching that scene, I was like, oh, she's obviously going to sit down. And this is going to be how they start to break down the walls. Nope. Not how it happens.
Yeah.
So then she's like, no, I actually got to go talk to Weber about something. And in that scene, Amelia and him are talking.
Yes. Whisper bickering, which is
whisper bickering.
One of my favorite things.
Yeah. I think you and I whisper bicker. No, we just yell. We just yell.
Never whisper. And we're never bickering. We're always just arguing.
This is a bicker. This is a bicker right now.
It's because I'm not committed to it yet.
Oh, wow. So very fun. Because I think they're talking about secret child, blah, blah, blah. So crazy. Yeah. And then when she introduces herself and says, I'm Dr. Shepherd. And she goes, oh, you're the second Dr. Shepherd I've met today. And she goes, yeah, that's my brother. And Pierce goes, what is everyone in this room like related to each other?
Yeah.
And the look that Amelia shoots. She's like,
I was like, oh my, Amelia, calm down. Dear God. You're doing too much, Amelia.
Man, Kelsey really acted with her eyes on that one too. Yeah, she was really fully.
I did full crazy eyes on that one.
Goodness. Yeah, it's just there's a lot of stuff happening. What else with Pierce? Where do we want to keep going down this?
Well, that's probably all of her interpersonal stuff, really.
And Joe.
Oh, right. She cannot remember Joe's name to save her life.
To the point where
Willis, Milton, Watson. Shout out my dog. So yeah, then at the end, she keeps saying, she's like, good job, Wilson. And Joe's like, wow, you remember my name. She's like, yeah. And she's like, you keep looking at your watch. Did you write it on your wrist? And she's like, I did write it, your name on my wrist.
Well, early on in the episode, they have this patient. This was for, let's see, which one was it? There was a lot of patients in this.
Yeah.
She, Marjorie, this old lady.
Mm-hmm. And her daughter
married
Jeannie.
65 years, just insanely old. Mm-hmm. She wants to die if she passes out again, but the daughter won't let her sign the DNR.
Mm-hmm.
And so Joe sees that conversation and they go to talk to the daughter. And basically Maggie gives Joe this speak when spoken to fucking thunder.
Yeah, she's like, you're overstepping. Don't do that. Like, that's not your place. You don't get to counsel patients. You don't get to give advice. You don't get to, like, speak on behalf of, like, our patients or talk to their family. And I really like that moment. And then she's like, sorry, I just had to bring the thunder. And
Joe's
like, what is happening? And she's like, well, if you're really young or pretty, then you have to show people that you mean business. Otherwise they won't take you seriously. And she's like, honestly, if you don't do this, you should, because you're really pretty. And I kind of like that moment. It's just like a nice little moment of, I do have the authority, but also I do still support you. Now, obviously this is before she gets very mad at Joe, which here's my thing with her. She gets really mad at Joe because she mentions the Alex thing in front of Labacus. And then Labacus gets mad and Alex gets mad, which makes Maggie uncomfy and mad. So then she kicks Joe off her service and she's like, you're untrustworthy. I don't feel like that's fair or like work related enough for her to have a work related punishment.
I agree. I thought that was a bit too much. I also, because you had bad small talk making abilities, like,
yeah,
you're making
like
this
you
Joe's problem.
Are uncomfortable. Yeah.
Also, like, I don't know, just maybe not talk about this gigantic achievement the first time chatting with someone. Like,
yeah,
hey, I'm Pierce. I'm new here. How long you been working here? Amazing. Cool. Yeah. Bye. That's like at least congratulations on your board appointment. That's a second or third conversation.
Right. And like, especially because you don't even like, you know, he doesn't currently work there. Like, he currently works in private practice.
Yeah.
Like, you don't even know who the other doctor in there is.
Right. Which seems like an oversight for the way they're creating this character. That just felt like a, but also with Jackson Avery, that felt like a foot in mouth dumb thing. And she's not a dumb person. Although again, typically they make these genius people,
it is
like
very
bad
trippy.
Social skills, whatever.
Yeah. And yeah, I did like the dynamic between her and Joe. So then the whole rest of that back half of the episode is her telling Joe, like, leave me alone, you're not on my service. And then at the end, Joe's like, actually, I decided I needed a second chance because I want to learn from you. And she's like, oh, was that you bringing the thunder? And Joe's like, yes. So I thought that was cute. I'm like, look, already she's learned from her.
Yeah. Also, when that scene where they're asking about the genome thing.
Yes.
And Bailey is like, I'm just going to fucking do it. And I'm not going to tell them. Or what was the situation? I think that was it, right? Was that the...
Maggie asks them to send off something for genome mapping, and Bailey's like, oh, I can just do it here. And she's like, oh, that's so cool that you have a genome lab. And then she gets told that it was shut down, and she's like, why would they shut that down? And then when they bring Jackson and Owen over, she's like, shutting it down makes your board look like a bunch of fucking morons. And they're like, that's so interesting. Jackson is, in fact, on the board.
Oh, that was a different one I was talking about. I was talking about when they were going to send the Robbie's exome panel to see if the myopathy is genetic.
Yeah.
And then Bailey tells Joe, yeah, to shut up about the board shutting down her genome.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She gets pissed about that. And then Maggie goes, did she just bring the thunder or is she just pissed? And then this is like one of the greatest lines I think I've heard in the show. She goes, Bailey doesn't have to bring anything. She is the thunder.
Yeah. Yeah.
When that she is the thunder,
mm-hmm.
Put that on a bumper sticker.
Yeah.
Women empowerment. She is the thunder.
So true.
That's what I'm saying out here. And if you boys out there can't handle a woman who is the thunder, be a Ben in a sea of Owens, okay?
Owen had one singular good moment this episode, and it was when he has to go and, like, is the term eat crow? Is that the term?
I think you're thinking of eat dick.
No.
I wish he would eat a dick.
No, oh. When he has to go and be like, you were right. Like, thank you for doing that. You brought them peace. Like, I was wrong for telling you not to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess eat crow. Yes.
I feel like that's the term. It's no let dead dogs lie. But
which, shout out, who in the chat was like, I said the same thing. And that clearly wasn't right. Someone in our chat said, I've said, let dead dogs lie.
I thought it's she just was saying she saw it like since, like she said it since she listened to you say that.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe I misread it.
That my chat has had my back lately. Thank you. Thank you guys.
You guys, we got to start bullying Carmen more in the chat.
No. Start bullying Kelsey.
No one's going to do that.
He said too much joy in your life. You need to shut the fuck up, Carmen.
No, not too much joy. Too much ego.
No, very joy. Different. We're saying the same things.
We're different. So, I love that moment as well. But when Owen is like, drop it. And she's like, okay. And then she obviously doesn't. And then she brings the McNeils in. And she's like, it's this specific gene. They actually just found it. Like, you know, Dr. Hunt and Dr. Yang didn't do anything wrong. Like, it just had not been discovered yet. And now we can confirm, like, this was the situation. And so, you know, obviously for them, they get the reassurance that it was not anything they did. It was not anything they brought into their home or anything like that. So they were able to kind of like have that moment of like peace. And at least like now we know this is what it was. And it was nice that Owen went to her and was like, thank you for doing that. Like, it was really incredible that you were able to give them that. And she's very gracious. She's like, you know, you guys did all this work. I was just able to basically like land the plane with it. And then Meredith comes over and is like, Dr. Pierce just murdered a woman.
Yeah, that was pretty intense. So let's talk about the scene. Go ahead. Let's play it.
So Marjorie, who's the older lady who was a million and also was struggling with cancer and wanted a DNR, but her daughter had power of attorney, so she could not sign a DNR. She starts to code again, and Maggie the term apparently is slow code. I had misremembered and originally wrote soft code, but it is slow code. And so basically she just does like very minimal, like ineffective CPR, basically to say like, oh, I did CPR and they just didn't make it. She doesn't let Meredith shock her. She doesn't do any of that. And Meredith obviously is there and gets super mad. So then she gives Meredith no explanation. Meredith makes a lot of assumptions and goes to Owen and says essentially like, Maggie just killed somebody.
She's a murderer. Throw her in jail, Owen.
Yeah. So my thought on that was, I'm like, okay, it does look that way. Like, Maggie, this looks bad.
Yeah.
I know that you don't like Meredith at this point, but like a little bit of context or explanation would have been great. Meredith also like give a little bit of maybe the benefit of the doubt, maybe ask some follow-up questions. Because yes, again, I know it does in fact look bad, but you don't know the whole story. You do know that this is Maggie's patient. So maybe there's some piece to it that you don't understand. You, the one who like messed with a clinical trial, maybe like take pause get some information.
Always forget about this, dude.
Yeah, the lines that people draw are inconsistent and all over the place.
Gosh, so much has happened in this show.
Yeah, man. Adele used to be alive.
Man, somebody that I used to know.
So true.
Like,
so true.
Who else used to be alive? Everyone?
Denny was alive. George was alive. Henry was alive.
Dylan was alive. Ellis was alive.
Ellis was alive.
I mean, Eric was alive. Derek. Eric. Fuck. Who's not Eric, Eric Dane. Fuck.
Oh, Mark.
Mark.
I was like, who the fuck is
his
Eric?
Human name. His real name.
Yes.
His government name.
He also was alive. R.I.P. I get sad about it a lot still.
Lexi was alive.
Lexi was alive. The dog was alive.
Heather was alive.
Heather was alive.
Wow, they really kill a lot of people on this show.
Yeah, they're really indiscriminately murdering people on this television show.
Wow.
Mandy Moore.
Mandy Dead. Moore. Chuck.
Gary Clark.
Reed. Gary. Man. A deer. No, the deer lived.
The deer did live.
Damn.
Yeah. Shonda, she'll kill somebody.
Pour one out for all those poor bastards.
Remember when she killed, spoiler alert, guys, spoiler alert for How to Get Away with Murder. Remember when she killed Asher? And you were like, if they kill Asher, I'm going to stop watching this show. And I was like, well, I guess he's just only never going to watch the series finale.
That to this day, insane. That show... Can we also acknowledge everyone on that show was shit?
Yeah. That's everyone part of what made that terrible. Show compelling, in my opinion.
I read an article recently. We're going to have to obviously keep talking about Grey's Anatomy. But I saw an article recently about Brooklyn Nine-Nine and how people were like, they really wrote Gina Linetti as kind of a fucking bully. And honestly, I don't know that I feel that way in the show. Like, because they have, everyone kind of has, like, these quirks, right? You watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Yeah, they wrote Gina as kind of this asshole with no redeeming qualities. But honestly, she does have moments of human side
of things.
Yeah,
I feel like every once in a while, like, someone needs something and she, like, takes care of them. Or, like, does something to be helpful.
Or the redeeming human side of her was just that she's friends with Jake and we're just supposed to assume.
Yeah, and they've been friends for, like... Their entire lives. Like, they were friends in, like, kindergarten or something, yeah. And ultimately, she was, like, watching out for him and, like, did want him to succeed and, like, do well in life.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was also, like, a movement on the internet. They were like, we have to cancel Parks and Recreation. I'm like, I just, like, don't know that
what?
We need to do that. Yeah.
For what?
Body shaming, fat phobia.
Did they do those things?
the way they treated Gary, Jerry, Larry, whatever. But I'm like, the thing with Gary, Jerry, Larry, he ends up being the mayor. Like, it comes around full circle. Like, he becomes the mayor. Like, he
also,
he has the biggest dick that doctor has ever seen.
And also, is it Heather Locklear is his wife?
Yeah, no, it is. It's not. I don't think it's her, but it is a supermodel.
They give him the perfect wife
and
the
daughters.
Perfect daughters.
Yeah,
the perfect life, and he becomes mayor. That was what I actually mentioned in that article about Gina. That like, at least with Gary, Jerry, Larry, they made him like a fucking gigantic dick machine. Like, they did all these things where it didn't matter that he was the butt of the joke because his life was perfect and he didn't give a shit. And then their argument was that Gina was just an asshole.
Yeah. I mean, every show can't just be a whole bunch of likable people. That's not reality. We recently started watching Mad Men, and like, before we start, I've never watched Mad Men.
I know vaguely about it, like vaguely, right?
And I told Michael, I was like, I don't know if you're going to be able to watch this, because the way they write it, like, no one in the show is like meant to be a quote unquote good guy. They're all just bad people. That's kind of like the show. And ultimately he was like, yeah, I don't know if I can watch this. And I was like, yeah, I didn't think you'd be able to. Thanks for giving it a shot. Also, man, when people say they were born in the wrong time, it could not be me. I do not want to, like, listening to those men talk about women, listening to those wives, like, talk, like, the way they just, I liked the way people dressed, and that is the end of the good qualities of that time period, in my opinion.
Yeah, and they were all on cocaine.
Or, no, really, then it was mostly the cigarettes. Everyone's just really pounding away at the cigarettes. Now, in Peaky Blinders, they're all on cocaine.
I haven't watched that show either.
I do think you would really enjoy Peaky Blinders.
I was having a conversation with someone today about The Sopranos, and I'm like, I'm sure I would like The Sopranos. The problem is, I live The Sopranos. Like,
well, I don't know that that's true.
I live the mafia. I watched The Godfather for the first time as an adult this year. It was like watching a documentary about my family.
No, it's not.
It was the exact same thing.
It was not.
Also, it's Christy Brinkley, not Heather Locklear.
Yes, thank you. It is Christy. You're right. I was like, I know it is a model of that time frame, but it was not.
I had to look it up.
Yeah. I do think you would. I also have not watched The Sopranos, but I do know how it ends. And I do know that it's kind of one of, like, it's debated on whether or not it's like a good ending or not.
So, again, like, How I Met Your
Mother.
Such
is life. No, How I Met Your Mother is pretty universally understood to be a bad ending.
I thought it was a good ending.
You're kidding.
I mean, it's fine. Like, I don't
it's
have...
It's not. The one episode negates the entire last season.
I don't know.
I do know.
Maybe. I want you to know, I genuinely don't...
to his wife, the way they ended that show.
That's fair. But here's the thing. The whole show... You just assume it's really not about how they met. It's about the friendship. So I guess
right.
I wasn't
no,
surprised.
No, the real journey is the friends we made along the way, but that's not the point.
I don't care. I do not think that How I Met Your Mother is like that great of a show. I genuinely don't.
It didn't age that great. There's a lot of How I Met Your Mother that aged pretty poorly.
I mean, there's a lot of Friends that didn't age.
Oh,
very,
yeah, for
great.
Sure.
Like, how long did we have to go to see a main character that was a person of color? Like, a long time.
And that really
time.
Wasn't even a main character. That was just a reoccurring guest role. Like,
right. So, like, but, there's, for yeah, sure, problems with all TV shows.
Yeah. A lot of art in general is just ultimately going to be, quote unquote, of its time.
Yeah.
You know, we learn better, we do better. I read something, I'm going to butcher the quote, but it's like, art is created in the time it's in, not for all time. If it's something like that, that's not it. It was said in a more like profound way, but it was something along those lines. Like art created is going to represent the time it was created in. It's not necessarily going to like work in every single time. And I found that to be interesting and true when you revisit shows. And it's fine to like recognize like, oh, hey, wouldn't it be great if like we stopped making all these gay jokes? Wouldn't it be great if like we stopped body shaming or like,
Wouldn't it be great if we didn't do blackface?
Like, yes, right? Like we learn, right? We learn, we grow.
Which actually, I think I mentioned this before we jump into the next episode. There was, I think we were watching Holiday Inn last Christmas, and I think Holiday Inn with Bing Crosby and Fred Astaire.
Holiday Inn. Anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, different one. But I got it on Apple. I bought it on Apple because we watch it every year. That's like, mm-hmm. this was Jess's family tradition that I liked, and I'd never seen it before us dating. And on the Apple like slide, the pre-movie slide, it says, there are some images in here that are racially insensitive, but were accurate to the time, and we chose to keep them in there for educational purposes or something to that effect. And I was like, oh, that's cool.
Disney did that with like Peter Pan, like the original like Peter Pan cartoon.
Okay.
And there's some other ones, Dumbo, things like that, where it was a similar thing. It was like, yes, they're, you know, racial stereotypes depicted in this show. We don't stand by them, but this is part of the film. This is how it was made. Here's your warning that that is in this movie.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
So, yeah, let's do another episode.
Yeah, maybe we'll talk about Grey's Anatomy this time.
We talked about Grey's a lot.
We did. And we just really got off topic at the end.
Yeah, it's okay. The problem is we started off too strong. We went in right to the content.
We had to do it on the end. Okay, well, we'll start next episode with everyone's favorite segment.